Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Riley.
I would like to tell some people, I know a lot of people are waiting for my update about Ian. Ian got...
Your husband, by the way, in case...
Yeah.
In case listeners don't know who Ian is, Ian Freeman,
founder of the show.
Yeah.
Ian Freeman is the founder of the show and my husband, and he called me yesterday and said he was getting taken to prison, but he didn't know any details because they don't have to tell you any details. They just leave you hanging on a lot of stuff on purpose. And he did finally call me. It's the first time in, I was going to say first time in my life, but first time since I met him in 2020 that I didn't talk to him for over 24 hours. But
wow.
He said that they brought him to Stafford County Jail, so he's still not in prison. And they brought him to Stafford, whatever county jail, and he's waiting there for the prison bus to come pick him up. Who knows what day? They don't have to tell you. So we still don't know what prison he's going to. So right now, like, don't write to Ian or send him anything because he won't get it. But thank you for that. And yeah, I just want to update people because lots of people were asking me to update because I put like something dramatic on Twitter for one thing.
So for listeners who have never heard of why your husband went to prison, inform them briefly why he's in a cage.
Well, he was
captured
Bitcoin.
By the so-called government.
Well, yeah, he sold Bitcoin and the feds raided our house over it. No, they didn't knock on the door and hand him some paperwork over a paperwork
They brought
violation.
Machine guns in the tank, right?
Yeah, they claimed that he sold Bitcoin without their permission, so...
Yeah, you know, a Bitcoin, selling Bitcoin does not warrant a tank and flashbang grenades and broken glass and you walking around in broken glass and... Yeah, it doesn't warrant that, obviously.
It doesn't, and that's just kind of the thing that the government does. I saw a video yesterday. I wish I knew which news organization. I should definitely bring this up, and I'll write that down, so... FBI news. So I saw something yesterday, and on the break I'll bring it up and have the actual details of like where you can look at this, but it was something kind of what is his thing called? James O'Keefe style. I can't remember what the name of that Project Veritas. It was
Project Veritas sounds familiar.
Project Veritas does undercover interviews with people, so they like got a Pfizer employee on a date, quote unquote, with a undercover journalist, and the journalist had a video of recording without the guy knowing, and he was able to put out this video with the guy saying stuff like, oh, we're trying to make the virus even worse so that way we have more vaccines to sell. Like,
shocker, Pfizer wanting to make a virus worse.
Yeah, there's like a specific name for that.
The government.
Oh, man, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a certain type of research that is actually illegal to do. So he, you know...
Gain of function, maybe?
Yeah, gain of function research. Yeah. So it doesn't matter. All I'm trying to point out is that Project Veritas does these undercover things where they... Oh, I'm on a date with you. I'm just a normal person on a date with you. But really, they have a camera recording the people, which would definitely be illegal in New Hampshire. I'm always surprised that this is like... not illegal wherever these people are.
Well, there are some states that are single party states and some states that are two party states.
New Hampshire is a two party consent state, meaning that both parties have to consent to being recorded.
Yeah, and single party means just one person does.
Hmm. So if you consent to the conversation being recorded, then you can do it in single party states.
In single party states, only one person needs to consent to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it should definitely be. I think that, I don't know, actually, wait, that's a little weird of a moral question. Maybe I shouldn't, like, be considering it on the air, because it's not important. What I wanted to say was, because I was going to say, do I think it's morally right to record without people, the person you're talking to, knowing? I guess it would be if...
I mean, if you're going to put out damning information about somebody, then maybe you might want to get their permission before recording something.
Yeah, but what if it infects the whole world like that? Like, and I'm not trying to be a utilitarian. I think I need more time to think about it.
That's a good question. I don't know. It's hard to say because it's not like you're committing an act of violence. You are informing people.
Yeah, and you're not harming. You're not stealing. You're not.
But at the same time, you know, if the person is unaware that they're being recorded,
I think it depends on the setting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you expect some type of privacy, like if you're in your home and someone's recording you,
yeah,
that's one thing. But if you're like out in public on a date somewhere and you're being recorded, then...
That is a good point. That changes things a lot. Like definitely if I had a camera in Riley's room, he rents from me next door, and I was like, see, he said this.
Yeah, that'd be...
That'd be a little invasive.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot invasive.
But if you're out where you have no real... expectation
like if we're
of
out
privacy.
Doing social Sundays and I say some crazy stuff, then maybe you might want to bring it to the radio and
especially
say, really
if it affects the whole world. Joe Biden says, and that's the president of the United States.
Allegedly, the so-called president.
Yeah, says, well, he can be the president of that corporation. Like,
yeah.
Sure, he's that president. He's not mine.
Right, he's not my president either.
But, and none of them would be, no matter who he is, but... He says, Joe Biden says, Julian Assange prosecution may be thrown out, quote, considering dropping the charges.
Well, you have to remember, he's still a politician, and politicians are going to say stuff to, you know, sway people to their side or whatever, and they're never going to fulfill promises. So if Joe Biden does indeed pardon Julian Assange, I'll be thrilled and surprised.
If he does?
Yeah, if he does.
I would be surprised as well. I was really not expecting Trump to do it, and then he didn't, even though there was all this talk about it. Like, oh, he may pardon Ross. He may pardon Assange. And who's the other ones? Wait.
Ross Ulbricht.
No, I already said Ross and Assange. There's the other one that he was going to drop the charges against. Was it Snowden, or is that too late?
I have no idea. I would love to think that Snowden could be pardoned and come back to the United States, but Edward Snowden might be a bad name among some people because he revealed the quote-unquote secrets of the government when he revealed their spy program.
Yep. The NSA stuff going on.
And it's always happening. I mean, people don't realize it, but your government is spying on you every single day.
Is Snowden the one that transitioned?
No.
No, that's Chelsea Manning.
Yeah, Chelsea Manning.
Oh, okay. And Chelsea Manning is not facing any charges right now either?
I don't think so.
Because I was thinking maybe that's the other one. No, I think it was Snowden. I think that people believed, for some reason, that Trump, at the end of his presidency, I almost said his pregnancy. At the end of Trump's presidency, there were rumors and like whispers that Trump may pardon Ross, Assange, and I think it was Snowden. But he didn't do that. He pardoned like... Apatio or whatever, however you say that, some sheriff from Arizona that was literally racist and terrible.
Joe Arpaio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible person.
Cruel human being, wanted to, you know...
Sadistic, seriously.
Yeah, really.
But let's get into this. Let's see. I don't know where he said this or any other details about it. I hope there are more details. And I also hope it's not just like a rumor, because this from express.co.uk... makes it sound like it's an actual quote. So, U.S. President Joe Biden says the U.S. is, quote, considering, unquote, dropping its prosecution against WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. For years, Australia has called on the U.S. to drop its prosecution against Assange, an Australian citizen who has fought U.S. extradition efforts from prison in the U.K. This is a messed up website. It says, asked about the request on Wednesday as he hosted Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida for an official visit, Biden said, we're considering it. Okay. So that's an actual quote. Apparently really happened. That was just like a messed up paragraph. It ran two sentences into each other and it didn't make any sense.
Huh. So it just sounds like Joe Biden might be considering...
And he actually said that. It's not like, sources close to Joe Biden say that he said that. So Assange has been indicted on 17 espionage charges. He's never even set foot in the United States. And he's being charged with espionage against the United States and one charge of computer misuse. What? That's a charge?
That's a charge?
I had never heard that about him or anyone else.
Man, these terrorists love to just trump up charges on everything and everybody. I mean,
the United States terrorists.
Yeah, the United States gang of thugs likes to trump up terrorist charges on people just because they said some things they didn't like or posted some documents that they didn't like them posting.
So if you don't know what WikiLeaks is, that was his website where he posted classified documents. And at this point, this website points out that it was almost 15 years ago. Climber, you were on the line, and what was it that you were asking us, just to repeat it for the listeners?
Yeah, well, I was just kind of looking for some background on the three of you. I, as somebody that has gone to different states and experienced the local freedom movements in Utah and Texas, for example, I know you grew up in Texas, mm-hmm. but how would you describe New Hampshire as an environment? Moving to Keene, it's a college town. It's a pretty cool place. And you obviously fell in with a good group of people there, even though, the raid and everything with Ian and co happened like not long after you showed up, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what month you showed up in 2020, but so if you could just maybe give a comparison of like Utah and New Hampshire versus like Texas and New Hampshire, Texas and Utah, and what you like about New Hampshire, and do you think this is going to be your home now?
Yeah, I definitely think that New Hampshire will be my home now, and the reason is all about the people. Like, I think the most beautiful place that I've ever lived, and the most beautiful place in America is Utah. I love the weather. I love it so much, but I absolutely couldn't stay there. Like, the small town I lived in, I wouldn't be able to live there anyway because it was a federal military base, and I have no, like, you have to have business to live there.
And you have no love for the feds.
No way. but also, so what I was going to say was the small town I lived in Utah, the cops hated me and purposely went after me multiple times. Like, I had so many petty, they only arrested me once, but like charges for nothing, and they would like bother me, and they were like threatening.
Were you doing activism there?
I only did activism there once, but I think it inflamed them and bothered them. So like, I got arrested for no reason, and it was so dumb, and they were trying to charge me with a DUI, and I'm not going to rehash the whole thing, but they're trying to charge me with a DUI when I wasn't even driving. I was at work. And they came there, they got me to admit to things because I didn't know that any of my rights. I didn't know that I shouldn't talk to cops at all because they were investigating me. I just thought they're trying to get to the bottom of something. Then I get charged with a DUI. I ultimately didn't get that DUI because like I wasn't drinking. But after that, I started like looking up like how to talk to cops. Like, what did I not know that I needed to know? And I found all these stories about like cops killing people. And I found Cop Block, which is kind of funny because like I followed Cop Block on Facebook, which was a group of people from Keene, actually, it started in Keene, I'm pretty sure, like 99% sure.
I think it started in Keene too, the Cop Block thing.
Yeah, it was Damo Freeman and Pete Eyre, right?
Yep.
And so those two started Cop Block, which would be like they would like see somebody getting pulled over, and they would go there to film the cops, like
right, by the way. You are you are allowed by law to film the police, yep. No matter what they tell you. You have every right to film.
Even though they might not know.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah, and they'll lie to you anyway.
Yeah, they are allowed to lie. Even though it's not moral. So I actually followed Cop Block on Facebook even back in 2016, but it didn't lead me to finding like Free Talk Live and all that stuff or the Free State Project. And my whole point was like I loved, if I was just basing like where I wanted to live on the look and the weather, I would have to choose Utah, but I cannot do that. Like, I don't like the weather in New Hampshire at all, but I absolutely don't want to live anywhere else just due to the people. Like, it is such a game changer, a pro-life hack to have people around you who are moral in your opinion. Like, if you can't all agree about is violence okay or not, like, that is a huge difference, and more people should consider that. Like, do your friends, if the cops came to your friends and asked them to lie about you to put you in jail, would they do it? Because like, you need to consider that when considering your friends. I know that none of my friends in New Hampshire would do that. I know that they already know the basics about whether or not, what's right and what's wrong. Like, is violence okay? And then considering what actually is violence, like, is taxation theft and stuff like that. That's absolutely...
It the show? Was it Ian and Captain and other people that you heard on the Free Talk Live show, that message resonated with you? And as somebody that was already leaning towards, kind of idealistic, freedom-oriented, pursuits, that kind of triggered your, that was the impetus behind your move here, do you think?
Oh, yeah. Whenever I found Free Talk Live, I was like, absolutely, I need to get there somehow. I really want to live in a place where people actually care about the stuff I care about. Because when I moved to Texas, I didn't continue being it wasn't like a front and center of my mind, like being a libertarian all the time. I was just like, well, I'm just going to go live in the place that's already the freest in my mind. For some reason, I thought that was Texas, and just live like a normal life. And like, if some political conversation would come up around my friends, I just like wouldn't say anything, because I was like, they won't get where I'm coming from. I'm not starting this conversation. I'm not going to make people not like me just because like I believe that we should have the right to have guns or something like that.
Lori, are you from New Hampshire originally, or this part of the world? Or
I'm from Massachusetts originally.
Oh, me as well.
I grew up in Clinton.
Okay. I grew up in Acton.
Okay.
And before I moved here, I was living in Townsend.
Yeah, so Clinton's like a little 5-mile town, kind of towny dystopia.
Lots of bars in Clinton.
Yeah, lots of bars, and no one's going anywhere with their life. And so my whole life fell apart when I was 25, and I was like, why am I here? My mom died, and a 13-year relationship with an abusive ex ended, finally. And just everything, my whole life just exploded, and I was like, you know what? I'm out of here. So I packed a backpack and got on a Greyhound bus and started traveling around the country for like 7 years. And then I met my husband in Utah. He's ex-Mormon also. And we stayed there for a while. And then I got pregnant. And I didn't want to raise my daughter. I didn't want to raise her or any children in Utah because it's kind of passive-aggressive. And
it definitely can be.
Yeah. And the Mormonism rules the government there.
Yeah.
And the air quality is terrible and it's too hot. And I just don't like Utah. So I was like, let's get out of here. So we bought an RV and we went RVing in Arizona, living in the desert with a 6-month old. And I got a job out there and we saved a bunch of money. And then I had my second daughter living in Arizona, and we had lived there for a year, and I really, really didn't like it. And I said, can we please go back to New England? He had never been. Oh, I brought him here to Boston for vacation for like 4 days once. But he had never been to like this part of the country. And so we came. The agreement was for a year each place, because I stayed in Arizona for a year, which I did not like at all.
Yeah, it's way hotter there than even Utah.
And it's weird. It's kind of bizarre. We lived in Tombstone, and it was a really weird place.
I've never been there, but every experience I've ever had with Utah, or Arizona, I meant to say, is weird.
Yeah, well, first we boondocked, and that was cool. We boondocked in the...
What is that?
Where you just, like, dry camp with no campground and no... Like, we just did it in the middle of the desert on BLM land.
Oh.
And there was like wild horses in our campsite. And it was really cool. But it was hard because it was an hour drive to the nearest grocery store and stuff like that. So
do you have any family left in Clinton, or do you have any family in Mass still?
No, my dad is in New Hampshire. My sister lives in Washington, and that's really all the family I have.
How about your husband? Does he still have family in Utah?
Yes. Yeah. His whole family's still in Utah. They're all LDS. Yeah, sure.
That's interesting that Utah is the commonality between
I know.
I know. That's really fascinating. And here we are sitting in this room together.
I've thought about it before, but us three have actually never done the show together all at once. So it's kind of funny.
But Free Talk Live just happened because I was kind of born anti-authoritarian. I don't want anyone to rule over me my whole life. I don't do well with it. I just want everyone to leave me alone, and I want to leave them alone and just be peaceful and exist. And
I think it takes a high degree of independence and like a kind of a leaning towards self-sufficiency and to be libertarian minded. I mean, because let's face it, most people are interested in, you know, kind of government as a security, you know, some means by which they can be taken care of.
Yeah, I call them daddy government. And,
yeah.
Yeah. But interesting. That interview you did with Silver Dave, Bonnie, was interesting. I put a couple of comments on YouTube trailing yours.
and on his video where he was calling Bitcoin a trap. You put comments on there.
Yeah,
nice.
I mean, I think he means well. I think he has a healthy distrust of systems in general, which you know, I guess where you got to kind of be. I have the advantage of having worked in IT for, you know, 20 years, and I happen to work in network security specifically. So I had some background with, you know, hashing algorithms and public key infrastructure. So I understand enough so as to where I can, you know, say with a higher degree of confidence than most people that it's a pretty safe protocol.
Nice.
But that was a good interview, and that was a good video you did, Riley, where you were buying gold coins.
Oh yeah, that was a fun video.
Lori, you brought in a story tonight that was really shocking to me. Apparently, New Jersey is it the state that's getting sued or a hospital?
Yeah, the state is getting sued
over keeping newborn blood. What is that all about?
So this is from IJ.org. New Jersey parents file federal class action lawsuit challenging state's secret retention of newborn blood for 23 years. The state can currently use the DNA from the blood samples for any reason without informed consent from parents.
Any reason?
Why did they want to hold on to the blood this long?
Well, I mean, you're getting a DNA database of every single person that's been born. You don't have to wait for them to commit a crime to get their DNA or to submit it willfully to one of these DNA checking websites. You just have it already the moment they're born.
Mm. That's, and when you say any purpose at all,
yeah,
that's definitely something they were probably doing, like creating a database.
Or framing people.
Mm. Yeah. Oh my goodness. That's so creepy.
Today, a new group of New Jersey parents teamed up with the Institute for Justice to file a federal lawsuit challenging New Jersey's practice of keeping blood samples taken from newborn babies for 23 years, all without parents' knowledge or consent. Not only does New Jersey hold onto the blood, it can use the blood samples in any manner it chooses. When babies are born in New Jersey, state law requires that the blood be taken from the newborns and tested for diseases such as cystic fibrosis, hormonal deficiencies, and other immunity issues. All states perform similar tests, and it's true. They won't let you skip it. My oldest daughter was not born in a hospital. She was born in a birthing center with no doctor. I had a midwife and stuff, just me, my husband, and the midwife.
Mm-hmm.
And she still had to take blood.
Wow.
She didn't take like a vial of blood. She did the heel prick. They check, I think, for lead or something. I'm not even sure what they check for.
I can't believe that if you just say no thanks, you can't. What?
Nope, it's against the law. Wow. So
that's crazy. Like, why would
I don't need the test? Thank you anyway.
Yeah.
Yep. Why?
I tried. Wow. I tried to say no, and the midwife was like, "I have to by law do this, or I will get, you know, my license pulled." And yeah,
that's so annoying.
Yep. But after the testing is over, New Jersey's Department of Health keeps the leftover blood for 23 years. The state does not ask parents for their consent to keep the baby's blood, failing to even inform parents that will hold on to the residual blood.
Wow.
The only way parents could learn about such retention is by proactively looking it up on one of the third-party websites listed on the bottom of the card they're given after the blood draw. And once the state has the blood, it can use it however it wishes, including selling it to third parties, giving it to the police without a warrant, or even selling it to the Pentagon to create a registry, as previously happened
Texas. Oh, wow. That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the national government could, in effect, have a national database of everyone's blood.
Mm-hmm. I know that they do stuff like this because I referenced in the last segment that I got arrested for driving under the influence while I was at work, and I had been at work for over an hour, and the cops came and accused me of drinking and driving to work, and I accidentally admitted that I did drive to work, even though I was not drunk, and I blew into their little thing, and it said zero. I'm not going to rehash the whole story, but so I had like a ridiculous pullover arrest for that. I ended up getting something called a plea and abeyance, where they just say that like we won't charge you with anything if you don't get in trouble for 6 months. So that's what happened. But so a ridiculous, stupid little nothing burger arrest. And then a week after, that happened, and this was military, they're not military police, but they're not regular cops. It was on a military base, but it's not a regular military base. So I don't remember what they are. There's like a specific, really stupid word for what they are. It's not MPs, not military police. But anyways, they called me a week later. Actually, they went to my parents' house and knocked on the door. I didn't even live there. And informed them to tell me to go to the police station a week after the whole arrest. And I was already like, I wasn't in jail or anything. And it was because they said, oh, during the arrest, we forgot to take a DNA sample from her mouth and we need to do that. And I just, I didn't know that I could just tell the cops no back then. So I went and like drove to the police station. And was like, I'm here for the DNA sample. They like swabbed a swab in my mouth and they're like, thank you. Like put it in a plastic bag. I don't, why would they do that?
They have your DNA.
So
exactly.
They want to make sure they have a database of everyone's DNA. So if a crime's committed.
And those were federal employees, so like it's not shocking to me at all that they just like having people's DNA to look at and hold on to. Derailing the conversation a bit here, but I said to Nikki and Colin on, I think, last Wednesdays, I was like, I've been kind of toying with the idea. I honestly, it's very emotionally charged, and I just, I honestly assume you guys are going to immediately disagree with me, but I don't know. I think I make a pretty good point that children are the property of their parents until they're able to say otherwise.
I disagree that they're property.
I would actually agree with Lori. I look at it more like a stewardship.
Yeah.
Like these sovereign individuals are coming into your care.
But are they sovereign? How can they be sovereign at newborn age? You can't be.
I still say they're sovereign individuals. They're just they're just put under your stewardship until they've learned what sovereignty means.
You're assuming that you're just kind of talking about them like, oh, well, one day they'll be sovereign, but in reality they're not when they're a newborn blob.
I don't think they're property, but I think you are their guardian.
Okay.
You need to guide them through life.
You need to guide them on how to interact with society.
Then why is it such a big deal when some other adult comes up and says, actually, I want to be their steward. Give them to me. It only makes sense that they're your property. Because like if somebody else just claims, actually, Lori, like I need to be the steward of this little girl, like them's are fighting words, but, and I'm going to come up and take them because I just decided that, like, why is that wrong? I think it's because the children belong to you.
Well, I think the universe chose those children to belong to the person that they were given to.
But then, like, there are people that will be like, oh, well, that person, that parent is beating their kids. They should rightfully take the kid, you know? So, like, did the universe mess up in those cases? I don't know. It's very emotionally charged.
It's a hard topic. Like, I
disagreed, like, 2 weeks ago until I just, like, for some reason got on this thought train and was thinking about it. I just believe in property rights. And the other thing that really convinced me, when I think of myself at 5 years old, and this is the thing, if you guys had bad parents, you might think otherwise, but when I think of myself at even like 5 years old, I remember that clearly. I remember my fifth birthday. I remember what I was like. I remember interactions with my siblings. Well, it doesn't bother me to think of myself as the property of my parents at that time.
See, the problem I have with property is you can do with your property whatever you want. You can destroy it.
That's a good
if
point.
If you want to.
But, you know, destroying another human's life.
Yeah, it's different.
It's different.
Well,
so,
that is a very good
point. Let
me
ask you this, Bonnie. Do you believe that coconut is your property?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
I believe coconut's your property, too.
And I made that point when we had this conversation. I think it was last week.
It was 2 weeks ago, probably.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, I made that point last time. I was like, I definitely think coconut's my property, but I'm not saying that's the same thing as people's kids. It's
different. I don't view a human and an animal as the same.
I don't at all either. I don't think that.
I don't value their lives the same.
Yeah. I don't think they
because
have
I don't eat people.
Human rights, so. Yeah.
I don't eat people either.
I don't eat dogs either, but I think that you can clearly articulate the difference between humans and animals. And that's why I just like, I can't buy the whole, it's morally wrong to eat animals because they have rights. They don't have the same rights as humans.
I don't eat dogs either, but I am not like, I don't think that it would be morally objectable more so than eating a pig for a person to raise a dog humanely to be eaten.
Yeah, I don't think it would be morally objectable.
I don't want to, but like,
I think it would make me think they were weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
I wouldn't think they would taste good anyway.
I mean, in a starvation situation, you're going to eat something.
Yeah.
But the actual like reason I think that it would make them weird is not just because of like the taste of the meat or because humans just don't do that. It's because you can detect a different level of consciousness between dogs and cows. I'm sorry.
Pigs are really smart.
They're smart, and I've heard that even cows are smart, but they're just not the same. Like, they're not going to be... Coconut literally loves me, thinks that he's a human. Like, he just... A cow's not going to do that, I don't think. But then again, I do realize that I wasn't raised around cows and pigs, and, like, maybe I just don't know. But...
No, dogs are different, though. Mm-hmm. They're the only animal other than people that understand pointing. When you point at something, dogs are the only other animal that understand that.
Yeah. I didn't know they were the only ones, but I've always, I've learned so much about dogs since I got Coconut because I didn't grow up with like dogs.
Monkeys might too.
Oh, really?
But I don't know. So I know dogs do.
I will point to something like in the other side of the room and Coconut looks that way and it's always so like, wow, you're so smart. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, but it's because they've been raised with humans for so long and they've become... kind of
they've evolved
intertwined
to function
into,
with us a little bit.
Intertwined into human behavior.
Yeah.
So if you point at something at a wolf, it's not going to look.
Right, exactly. Or even like a cat. And that's what's so crazy to me is like...
Cats are not domesticated.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
This article is titled, Self-Improvement is Inherently Pro-Liberty. And I think people who are afraid of change don't even want to improve themselves. They just think, I'm depressed. I am depressed. Depression is me. I will never change. I need a pill. Or that's just an example. Like, it could be anything else. Like, oh, I am whatever, but it will never change because I don't believe it can because I'm afraid to think of unknowns. And that's why they don't change themselves or improve themselves. And that's also why they believe in coercion.
Well, and it's hard. It's hard to improve yourself. It takes
effort.
Effort, and it's you unlearn everything that you learned in, you know, your whole life in a church or a school or by your parents. And people don't want to do it.
People want the certainty of religion. That's a great
Well, point. Religion provides a lot of people certainty because they have a holy book you can refer to. And in Mormonism's case, you have these people calling themselves prophets who supposedly talk to God.
Whoa, there are people that right now call themselves prophets in Mormonism?
Prophets, seers, revelators.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, every conference, April and October, they're sustained and supported as such. And these people supposedly have this connection, this divine connection, greater than anyone else to God.
That's terrible. I think everybody, I believe in like a spiritual side of the universe.
Yes,
and I
agree.
Everyone has the same access to it.
I agree with that.
That's terrible to tell people otherwise.
People are also scared to admit that they've been lied to their whole life.
That's so
like,
true.
I grew up my whole life. Everyone lied to me. And now I don't know. You know, how am I supposed to trust anyone that I thought loved me when they lied to me my whole life about all of these things?
To me, one thing that was terrifying, too, was just what if I am wrong to question Christianity and then I go to hell? And that is just like absolutely like abuse.
That's what made me stop. So I was raised Catholic and I was told that I wasn't supposed to question it. And I was like, well, then it's not for me. I'm out of here. I was like 9.
I always really respect people who did that at such a young age. I didn't. But the thing was, I was just like, oh, great. Thank you. Thanks for giving me all these answers. Mm-mm. Like, you know, I was just like, oh, awesome. Like, and then I would ask my mom things. But my mom was like, she's the type of person to like, she would have a question and she would find the apologetic or whatever they call it. Answer. So I would have a question, my mom would give me her answer, you know, like why did Jesus say this if this, and then she would give me the answer, and I was like, okay, great, thanks. Like, instead of being like I wasn't questioning at any point like if it was all true, because I just believed it was. I don't know how to explain it.
So for me, I actually delved into apologetics myself when it came to Mormonism. I had some experiences in my life where I felt like I needed to do that, where I needed to really learn about my faith tradition and how to defend it better.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't take me until my 30s to decide, you know, this is not the spiritual path that is most beneficial. I don't think the church claims are true, because you'd have to engage in a lot of fallacious reasoning, like special pleading, to suggest that your church is the one true church and the one true path. I mean, Islam makes the same claim. Christianity makes the same claim. There are branches of Christianity that make similar claims. And so how can your church be the one true church? And if I have to take your claims on pure faith alone, then really you have nothing to support your statements.
I think what saved me and got me into that early was I was a big nerd who liked to go sit in the library in my free time and read. And so I just read everything that I could get my hands
on. At 9?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Like reference books. Like I'd read reference books for fun. We had like all these encyclopedias and stuff, and I'd read them and just absorb all the information and like all these religions and all these different political views and stuff like that. And so I was always just, if I can't question it myself and find the answers myself, then it's not for me. If you're going to tell me that I can't question this thing, then I don't want to be any part of it.
That's a great policy.
If you can't tell me I can't question the prophet,
I don't want any part
of your religion.
I don't want any part
of it. If you can tell me that I cannot question God himself, then I don't want any part of your religion.
My dad was really sad at one point, and he told me, wouldn't you rather believe and be wrong than not believe and be wrong? And I was like, that's not really how believing something works.
Yeah.
You can't just make yourself believe something. Maybe some people can, but I cannot make myself believe something.
I think about that a lot. I wonder how many people really don't believe it, but they are trying to force it.
Yeah. Because, how, like, though?
Once I grew up and I could like think of things in a different way, I thought about other people in my life who didn't act like Christians, but they were part of the church and they were, called themselves Christians. And I'm like, do they just not really believe it? It has nothing to do with the government state lines. I think that the energies of places have a lot more to do with, like, I don't know, the people there and like the experiences they've had there, probably. Like, I definitely think my house has a really good energy.
It does.
Aw, thank you.
It has a very nice energy.
I never feel scared in my house. Like, to fall asleep in a room alone doesn't scare me. And I've always been like the type of person that needs to like be like, okay, don't think of anything scary like right before bed, until I lived in this house.
Huh.
And even when Ian went to jail the first time, I thought that I'd be like creeped out. And I was only creeped out of people. I was like always checking my closet before I went to bed, because somebody could have came in here and went and hid in my closet until I fell asleep. Not because of like the energy.
I do it too. Punch the shower curtain.
Really?
Anyway. Yeah. Anybody in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. The house isn't creepy, but like people.
People. Exactly. Yeah. People could be in there. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Like, I wanted to ask if your house was also, it had an energy that you thought was a good energy.
I think it's kind of neutral. It's not like, I don't feel warm and at peace like you do some places, but I also don't feel weirded out or scared or anything. I have lived in houses where I'm like, this place is creeping me out. I don't want to be here alone. Like, I can go to sleep fine there by myself if Sue's not there. It's just neutral, which is fine.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of any like scary place. Have you seen anything unexplainable? Is it just a feeling?
When I was a little kid, my aunt and uncle lived in this house, and there was in the basement, there was like a door, but it was all blocked off with dirt, and it really creeped me out.
That's creepy.
Yeah, being down there.
Why is it blocked off with dirt?
I don't know.
Okay.
There was like another room down there, but the door to that room was like, the whole room was filled in with dirt.
Whoa. Okay.
And so
it
always really weirded me out. And one time we were there and I was upstairs in bed and I had like this big giant bed. My aunt was laying in the bed next to me. We were watching something and my sister was asleep in the other bed in the same room. It was like our bedroom, shared bedroom at my aunt's house.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard my uncle call my name. I think I told you about this.
I think I'm remembering it now, but you should finish. I don't think Riley's heard it.
So I went downstairs. I was like, Uncle Tom's home. And I ran downstairs. She's like, he's not, because he used to travel around the country for business. And I went down there and there was nobody there. And that house was just creepy in general. And like a little while later, like a couple years later, we found out the people across the street found like bones in their basement, like bodies.
Wow, that's really scary.
Did you ever find out anything about the dirt room?
No, I never found out.
That's really creepy.
I sometimes like look up the house online to see if there's anything, but I've never found anything.
So you heard a voice say, Lori.
Yeah, it was like a man's voice, like a really deep man's voice. It was creepy.
That's terrifying.
A little terrifying.
Yeah.
But, you know, ghosts and energies do hang around places sometimes.
I don't know. That house was scary. That it did not feel, it didn't feel like a nice place to be. There was like upstairs, there was a little playroom we had to keep our toys in, and I refused to go in there to go. Like, I'd go in and get my toys, I'd run in and get my stuff and come back out. It wasn't even a basement; it was upstairs in the second floor, and my bedroom was right next to it. And no other room really creeped me out like that room. It was awful.
I remember when I was a kid being afraid of being alone more because of like the fact of being alone than like the specific house I was in. And I just remember this one feeling where anytime I was like in a room alone, it probably has a lot to do with the fact that I had a big family and I was like never alone. So when I was, it was weird. So like if I was in a room alone, I'd be like, okay, I'll go in there alone because I really want to get like my toy or whatever it was. But I'd be quick about it because, like, if I was sitting there alone for too long, I would start to feel this feeling like my back was, like, burning and cold at the same time. It's so weird. Like, I would just, like, be like, I feel something behind me. It's, like, burning and cold. Sarah, what's on your mind?
Yeah, so, you know, even though it's Free Talk Live, I would like to talk with something that has value to life, such as this new, brand new bus station depot in Valencia County, which is about 10-15 miles south of Albuquerque. So what's amazing is that it's called, I think, Belen or Las Lunas, one of the small towns, and they never had any kind of bus line there whatsoever. So they had a big, huge ribbon cutting ceremony, and I'm just excited, you know, because I might want to buy a house later and move there, you know, if there's a bus that takes you to the grocery store and to a mall and bring you back, you know, I'll just take any bus. So usually these small towns, they got that one main road, or they call that a central road, and it's only one road with the shops on it, and it goes through the city. And I think they might have a bus line going through it. Isn't that how it is usually?
I have no idea. I've never even used public transit ever. I've always wanted freedom. Therefore, I've always wanted to have my own car.
I've used public transit, and I would suggest that, you know, buses are going to go to places where there's people who are going to ride the buses typically, or demand for it somewhere. So I mean, they're not going to put a bus out to the middle of New Hampshire.
Right, what's your destination? Well, I'm into a lot of these bus meetings. They're going to have a lot of bus, but then they have comments like, where do you go? It's always the Central New Mexico. It's the community college, the university, and it's the mall. So where do you go? So that's usually their stopping spots, you know what I mean? So, and it's always the central. Every small town, they always have this main street. If it's like a really small town, they got this one road that goes right through the city. And so I think this town doesn't have much of population or much of anything, but it's attractive to me because I mean it's the land might be cheaper, the houses might be cheaper for what you get, and it might be a lot more peace and quiet if they have one bus. Take you to the Walmart shopping area and to the mall or something. Go by at shopping, like groceries, and bring you back. Like I'm all it. So I'm just excited. And I'm a bus person. I've never owned a car. I mean, I could drive, but I hate driving. You know what? I hate driving because the road rage. You know, the people that are like right behind you and they're screaming and yelling at you to turn the right. Or, I mean, I would have a nervous breakdown.
Exactly.
My nerves can't take it.
You're afraid of the idea that somebody might get mad at you, yell at you, and possibly harm you. You're very afraid of the unknown, and that's why you believe that we need a government to keep us all safe from people with road rage.
Well, I can't, you know, I like to be really safe when I make a left or a right. I just want to make sure that, but they want me to just turn a left or a right when they feel like it's safe enough for me. And I just can't deal with it. But I just want to also say there's a town of Anthony on the border of New Mexico. And I recently heard that there's a a bus line that actually takes you down to El Paso. I don't know if it's like 10 miles.
I never take that bus. I hate El Paso. I'm sorry, Sarah. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just hate El Paso so much. It's gross.
Oh, really? Have you been there before?
Yeah.
What is so gross about it? The only thing that is really gross is their they still got refineries. I just couldn't believe it.
What is that?
I went there and I'm really
oil refineries.
Yeah, there's the oil refineries. It's like, is that for real? Because I don't see those in New Mexico because we're all about clean energy. So I'm like, this is Texas, and I went there and high inversion days, like where the air compresses down really cold.
Inversion.
And I was like,
it's worse than
gaggy,
that makes the
suffocating, huh?
Yeah, inversion also just makes the air quality super bad. I didn't really know that's like a thing that happens in El Paso. I hear about it in like mountainous areas, but El Paso was gross. Like literally, you're like sitting there and like dust is flying all around everywhere, or like sand or something. It's not really sand; it's just like dirt. And just like the city is ugly, everybody looks scary and mean. There's not like, I mean, I'm not, it's not like I've like spent a life there or something. Just like whenever I've had to drive through it, I'm like, I'm getting out of here. Me and my friend drove from Las Vegas to San Antonio. I was helping her move and she just wants somebody to go with her for the drive. And we purposely drove past El Paso and slept in our car and just like a little bit outside of it to just not be that close to it. It was just, it's creepy. This says, the number one best-selling book in the world last week, even though this was written in February of this year, was Atomic Habits, An Easy and Proven Way to Build Good Habits and Break Bad Ones by James Clear. I haven't heard of it. Sounds like a pretty good book. He says, to be extra clear, it wasn't just the top book in its category, but the top book, period. That is an especially remarkable feat, as overall bestseller lists are typically dominated by works of fiction. I don't get that. I don't get it.
Why don't you get it?
I just think fiction is, it can be so boring. I want to learn real things.
I mean, I agree with you. I want to learn real things too, but sometimes it's nice to go in, off into a fantasy world and
I
stimulate your
too.
Imagination.
I think it's sometimes nice. I just do not understand most consumed stuff being fiction. I can't wrap my mind around it.
Most people are unhappy with their lives.
Hmm. And it's a way to escape.
Yeah, they use it as an escape, and they read, like, a lot of people read garbage too. Like,
the other thing is
romance novels and stuff are
that
really
is garbage.
Yeah, like a really top seller thing people buy. I don't even understand why people buy it.
A good friend of mine, I love her so much, and she is an intelligent person and a libertarian. She asked me about like what could she read to learn about seed oils. She's like, I see you talking about it. I want to know like the facts. I gave her a book, and then like a week later, she texted me, Bonnie, I'm reading the book you told me, and it's the first time I've ever had anything that wasn't pure smut on my Kindle. I was like, seriously?
Wow, like, that's wild.
Hear about girls reading that stuff, and I think that I honestly think it's mostly girls reading like porn on their, like, men. They want to see the porn. Women, they want to like think about it, so
they want to have a scenario about it. Yeah,
I don't
really
understand
think
that.
What it is. I don't either. Well, okay, I understand the theory. I think I and most women are more intellectually stimulated by sexual talk, and men are more just like, I see boobs, and now things are happening.
Yeah,
I think it would have to be both.
It would definitely have to be both. Like, ultimately,
like, you can't just have. I could never just have it just written down on paper and be like, wow.
No,
how?
Yeah. That is also the case.
Titillating.
Like, I wouldn't be interested enough to read those books or anything, but I can understand intellectually why they like it, especially if you're single. Like, you could also just live these things.
It sparks your imagination to dream of a prince who's going to come save you from your life.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, man, that's kind of sad, but... I definitely think that that's why fiction is more popular than nonfiction. It's the same thing as, like, I'm sure that fake, you know, made up stories in movies and book, or sorry, movies and TV shows are more popular than like documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
Even though people do watch documentaries and they can get really popular and stuff, like, I'd say number one is always probably something that's fiction. or I don't know if you'd say fiction about a movie.
Yeah, they don't show documentaries at the movie theater.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that would be really cool. Mm-hmm. I never really thought about that. Like, why aren't like top documentaries like being shown at like the local movie theater? That would be really cool.
One of my favorite things ever growing up was when we went to the Science Museum and we went to the IMAX theater and they did like the documentary on that big IMAX screen. Mm. Or it wasn't the IMAX, it was a planetarium theater.
Oh, wow.
And so it was like all 3D.
Wow.
Like it was a nature documentary, like you were flying over the savannah and the animals, and it looked like you were actually there. It was kind of unsettling because it looked like you were there flying over it, and you're like, am I gonna fall out of my seat? But
that's really cool.
Yeah,
that's crazy. I've never been to those planetarium things.
That'd be great if they did that on a regular basis at a movie theater, like had one of those where you could just go watch documentaries. That'd be wonderful. I'd go all the time.
Why don't they? Seriously, I think that people would go to that.
I don't go to the regular movies, but I'd go to that.
I went to the movies a lot last year just because of Ian. Like Ian definitely is like more of a movie person and like makes me end up wanting to watch movies with them. But I think that's not the topic we were talking about. I can so easily get distracted on Wednesdays because you guys always have like lots of like interesting thoughts about things.
We just like distracting you and getting you off the rails a little bit.
He says a conservative critic might argue that a moral degenerate with a fine-tuned morning routine is still a moral degenerate. In fact, better habits might only empower such reprobates to be more effective in disseminating their perverse values. The last thing we need is Netflix scriptwriters improving their daily creative process and cranking out more youth-corrupting poison. Cultural decay, our critic might say, can only be combated with a culture war. With champions of the good thing battling the forces of evil in order to reform the values of others, not people in general reforming themselves. I think this author is like exactly on our theological side, not theological, theoretical side.
I think so too.
I think that he's kind of saying exactly what we'd say about the right. A libertarian doubter might add that the root cause of our cultural decay is that big government is strangling individual liberty and perverting incentives. We can't self-improve our way out of that. I think he's being sarcastic there.
I think so too, yeah.
A socialist on a better diet will just be around longer to clamor for more tyranny. Civilizational decline, our doubter may insist, can only be reversed through a war of ideas, through champions of the truth skewering collectivist facilities in order to reform the thinking of others. Again, not people in general reforming themselves. Both the conservative and the libertarian might agree that only a strategic focus on political change, getting the right people in office, and the right laws in the books will save us. Yeah, I think that's really silly to think that that is going to help your life much, like who's in office. And
it doesn't matter who's in political office. Like, I've been around for 38 years and there hasn't been a political office or a president that has changed my life so dramatically that I have to go on the radio and talk about how great this so-called president was.
No, we'll talk about how terrible they are, though.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about how terrible Obama was, Bush was, Clinton was.
Do
Bush
the same
was.
Thing. It doesn't really matter who's in office.
Right.
Even if they are terrible, that one would have been just as terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I also do like this topic that he's hinting at here, saying like changing yourself is the most effective thing. More effective than trying to change other people.
And if everyone betters themselves, the whole world gets better.
Yes, that sounds exactly right to me. I just like this idea that you can totally try to influence other people, but you can't change them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's not that I really like it. I just think that it is true.
Yeah.
It just appears true to me.
Yeah, you can't make anyone do anything. I even teach that to the kids, my little kids. I tell them, like, you can't control what other people do. You can only control how you react to it.
Yeah. How old is your youngest? Do you mind my asking?
Four.
Okay.
Yeah. A 4 and a 5-year-old.
Wow.
I'm busy.
That's a great...
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Like, lesson to have already learned at 4 and 5. Because I know that that would save me a lot of frustration. Like, oh, you can't, like, force other people to behave however you want. All you can do is change how you react to what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to have, like, really bad, like, anger problems. back in the day. Well, maybe I shouldn't say I had anger problems, but I was angry for a lot of the time. And the government even sent me to anger management classes. But if I would have just thought about things differently, like
did the anger management classes work?
No.
Like, I've never been to an anger management class. What did they teach you?
I was just telling my dad the other day, one thing I really didn't like about that guy was he kept telling me something was wrong with me. And I kept telling him, like, no, like, these are the situations in my life that I'm frustrated with, and I need to change them, like, as in I need to move. And he kept being like, no, when you move to Texas, because I lived in a tiny, tiny town, like 150 people. Mm-hmm. When you move to Texas, you're taking yourself with you. You'll have the same problems there. No, literally, I moved to Texas. I made a change in my life that changed, like, everything for the better. Like, not everything was perfect, because that's just life, but all of those things I was complaining about that were making me angry changed because I took the incentive to move out of that place. I just don't like this idea that a lot of, like, therapists and people nowadays altogether have, that, like, you have something wrong with you and you need to, like, take a pill or something. It's just like, yeah, you might need to work on yourself, and I did need to work on myself, but also sometimes fixing an external thing in your life, like your diet or where you live, can make you better. And it's like a therapist trying to tell me that, no, you have anger. No matter what you do, you'll have this anger with you. Like, that is such BS.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.